Welcome to an hour of beauty and lifestyle-packed conversation. This is The Beauty Files with Juanita. Good afternoon and happy Friday and welcome to The Beauty Files. I'm Juanita. Yeah, we're back. We're back from a summer hiatus that, summer went really quick, especially when you're taking a break. It goes really quick. So thank you again for returning and listening to The Beauty Files with Juanita. And as I said in the opening, we are now beauty and lifestyle. So we're going to incorporate a whole bunch of beauty and a whole bunch of lifestyle and some shows that I think that you will find not only amazing, but very interesting. And speaking of interesting and amazing, today on The Files, we have two guests. Later in the broadcast, we're going to be joined by Chef Moses Jackson. He's opening up a new restaurant called the Jambalaya Room, and it's located on Connecticut Avenue. Now, according to Chef Moses, I call him Chef, he says that this is the real deal. And if you think that you had Creole before, you haven't, or Cajun, you really haven't, because all that is bogus. He's the real deal. He's from New Orleans, and he's going to share with us some his recipes, what his restaurant has to offer, and also how he is the real deal. We'll see, because I'm still looking for my beignets. So I'm just letting you know, Chef, if you're hearing right now, I'm letting you know. Right now, we're going to be joined by John Tavis, and I'm hoping I'm pronouncing your last name right, John.
You got it, Juanita.
Oh, perfect. John is with TheBooks.com, and this is a wonderful, wonderful site. Now, and the reason why it's so great, now, the name, The Books, I don't know if you even know what that means. Book, put in bouquet, put in flowers, putting amazing flowers, put in flowers that when you give them, the person who's going to receive them is going to think that they died and went to heaven. I went on his site. I actually sent some flowers to different occasions. I sent some flowers, and the first person, I don't know, they never thanked me or whatever. I'm sure they got them, but the second person was so amazed that they had ordered some for themselves. So without further ado, welcome, John, to The Beauty Files.
Thanks so much for having me, Juanita. It's a pleasure.
Okay, so, you know, we got, you know, all the different other flower or floral on online sites. What makes The Books so amazing?
I think there's a couple things that we try to do to be a little different than your sort of run-of-the-mill flower site. And I think there's kind of three big buckets of those things. The first is we really want to make the buying experience easy. It's not just easy, pleasant for the buyer. A lot of the sites out there, to me, it almost feels like torture just to get to checkout. You know, they're trying to sell you on a magazine subscription and on a plastic butterfly and some teddy bears, maybe some balloons, a bunch of things that my customer and the people that they're sending flowers to don't want to be associated with and don't want to buy. And so we've taken all those things out. And so it's three clicks to check out. It's super easy. The other thing we do along these lines to make it easy is we don't bait and switch our price. Our price is $40 flat. That includes shipping. There's no sort of hidden fees or gotchas on the back end. And all these things mean that you get to check out really quickly and you can be very confident that there's no sort of hidden agenda in there. And so that's, I think, one of the first big ways that we're different. The second is that we ship all of our flowers direct from eco-friendly and sustainable farms located on the equator on the side of an active volcano. And that's absolutely real. I'm not making that up. That's exactly what we do. So when you order with us, we source from our partner farms down there. When you order, someone goes out on that volcano, they cut the flowers, we hydrate them overnight so they have, you know, they get something to drink, and then we ship straight from there. And that means you get an eco-friendly, sustainable bouquet so you can feel good about where you purchase from, and it also means that you get a really fresh product. And then
okay,
we can also
so
source
you,
things that
you
are
made a great
cool
point, John. You made an excellent point. You said something about the way you get your flowers. you know, you get them straight from your place where you said you had gotten them from. That's not normal in the regular other in the other places. I don't hear that in the other places.
Yeah, most places are going to source from a local florist, or maybe they have a relationship with a wholesaler. The challenges with that from a consumer perspective is you don't know where those flowers came from. They all got imported into the country. They all get mixed up and jumbled around. And there are good farms in the world and there are bad farms in the world. And we only work with the good farms. And that means they treat the earth with respect and they treat their people with respect. And I don't know which brands or which sellers don't use good farms, and they might not even know it. But what we do know is that we only work with top-notch responsible farms.
So now the picture that we see on your site, thebooks.com, is that what we're going to get? Because you said the bait and switch, and you know I had to hold my breath because I was trying to because I have ordered flowers and I've seen what you know they have the beautiful picture, and when I got them or when the person got them, they're even calling me and saying, I think you may want to know that, because I know how you are about your flowers. This was very small, or these were dead, or these didn't come out right, or they didn't arrive the way they were supposed to arrive, or, you know, for whatever reason.
Absolutely. So that's another big problem in the industry, and it's not really those companies' quote-unquote fault that that happens. It's really just a function of the way that they do their business. And the problem is they show you a picture and then you place an order and then they give that order to a local florist. And that poor local florist doesn't have the flowers that you ordered. They just don't have them in stock. And there's no way for the big, you know, company that's selling you the order to know what they have in stock. And so they try to do their best to maybe approximate it. But if you ordered pink roses and they don't have pink roses, you're not going to really get what you ordered. And by being directly, you know, sourcing the flowers ourselves directly from the farm, what you order, what you see in that photograph is what you get. And, in fact, you get the exact number that you ordered. And almost in every instance, there might be a couple where we don't do this, but in almost every instance, we ship 15% blooms free on top of it just so you get even more than what you paid for.
Oh, my. Oh, my. No, I mean, now you just made a point, and I'm gonna go back because I have a couple more questions. But you just made a point about if the florist doesn't have, say, for instance, I ordered pink roses, and the person received yellow roses. What is that? I mean, do I even get like, oh, well, I'm sorry, we didn't have the pink. Would you accept yellow? I don't even get that.
Generally speaking, the big networks the big networks that sell sort of really big brands, and I don't want to call anybody out in particular, but
right.
We all know who they are. They work through these networks, and essentially what they do is rather than a catalog, which is sort of a way of merchandising certain specific goods that you can purchase, they actually say on their website that it's a menu, it's options, it's a general direction in which your bouquet will arrive. And so they actually don't contractually obligate themselves to give you what you ordered. They say that it's going to be somewhat similar. And so that's
right.
Sort of their way of kind of getting out of having to deliver exactly what they photograph.
Oh, my. I didn't think of that. Yeah, I do see that, something similar. And then also the other bait and switch thing that you were talking about where you'll see an advertisement, because I get it all the time, and it says, send someone a dozen roses for $19. And then you go on, you say, oh, well, that's a great price. I'll do $19. By the time you add shipping, handling, and whatever else the cost is, it comes up to like $50.
That's right. And then on top of that, you're now subscribed to a list where they're going to try to sell you, you know, their seven other businesses that you have no interest in, and you're going to get all their emails as well. And that's
exactly.
What we launched the business to do, is to take away all this pain for the buyer and for the recipient and just make it pleasant, because these are flowers. This is supposed to feel good. This is supposed to feel special. And somehow I feel like the options out there today, the big guys have forgotten about that part. And so we're really trying to build a company that's around really making this easy and make it really feel special for both the buyer and the recipient.
And see, now I'm liking you said that because you know, in your website it says about us. One of the quotes it says, "Flowers have always been about the recipient." I love that, and I love that concept.
Well, you know, of course it is important to that the recipient loves their flowers, but let's not forget the amazing person who decided to send this gesture, because in this equation, both people are obviously very special people, the sender and the recipient. And to think that really what you're sending with flowers is a sentiment, right? It's an emotion. It's a message that you want to convey.
Right.
And that person deserves to be celebrated. The fact that they want to send this emotion or this sentiment is really something that you should be sort of proud and happy about. And so we feel like that they've been forgotten in this equation and kind of ignored. And so
yeah.
We really want to make it as easy as possible for that really thoughtful and generous buyer.
Now, you also have something called the Books Club subscriptions.
Absolutely. So what those are, and we're tinkering with the name a little bit because a subscription isn't really the best way to think of it. So what these are auto delivery or auto scheduling options, and we have three of them. The first
mm-hmm.
is called Never Forget. And this is a tool, essentially a reminder tool, where a user can enter our site and visit that section of the site and place in any relationship, a mother, a sister, a wife, an uncle, whoever it might be that you want to send flowers to on somewhat of a regular basis, and you can put in all their important dates. And we'll automatically remind you 2 weeks before that date is coming up, and you can pre-populate that subscription with flowers that individual would like. And if you want to change it or cancel it or pause it any time, we don't charge you until they actually ship, but we will automatically deliver on that date. So if you have an aunt that you never know what to buy for, you can put that aunt into our system, and every year she's going to get amazing flowers from our volcano.
Wow.
And it just makes your life easier,
yeah,
and we also give you a discount.
I'm sorry?
I said, and it also makes your life easier because it's sort of organizing things for you, and then we also add an additional discount to that because you're pre-scheduling things with us.
And you have different sizes of bouquets or floral arrangements, or I shouldn't say sizes, pricing, where you add more flowers to the bunch. And I really encourage everyone to take a look at the flowers on thebooks.com, because the way it's displayed, and that was the reason why I wanted you on here, John, because I got so sick and tired of ordering flowers online, and I see the picture, and when I got them, it was just so disappointing. It drove me crazy where I just stopped.
Right. You get disenfranchised with the options. And, you know, we use fashion photographers to shoot our flowers. We don't use kind of product photographers, and we shoot outside in natural light. Almost all of our flower shoots have been done on a vineyard up the coast here in California, because we get amazing natural light up there. It's a really natural feeling. And what we're sending you is sort of, you know, nature's art. And so we want it to be reflected in the way that we photograph. You don't need to do a lot of things special to make these flowers pretty. We don't retouch and enhance colors and things like that. What we shoot is what you get. And I think it's really about setting that up in a way that makes them feel special, but it's also honest. We're not trying to make it seem like something that you're not going to actually receive.
So now, okay, so take me, I've ordered my flowers, you know, they'll tell me how many days or whatever. When I get them, how am I receiving my flowers? What am I doing when I'm opening up the box? What am I seeing?
Sure, so you're going to open up the box, and right in front of you will be the personalized note. We've printed on a really high-quality paper that's recyclable and recycled, and it has whatever the personal message is from your friend and a really nice card right there. And then you'll pull your bunch out. And you mentioned the different sizes. We have a single, double, and triple. If it's a single, you'll have a single bunch, you know, lined up from left to right. If it's a double, you'll have two bunches, each one sort of facing end to end. And then in a triple, we actually package it in a really cool way. It's almost like a spiral bound. And so you'll lift that out, and you'll take away the craft wrapping paper, which we wrap everything in the craft paper that you see on the site with a little bit of twine. And then you just snip the bottom of the buds under some running water, fill up your vase, plop in the flower food, and in goes the book. And then you have beautiful flowers from, you know, anywhere from, I think, on average at the low end of a week to, we actually have people who email us and send us pictures of their flowers and it's, you know, 3 weeks after they arrived, and they're still looking great. So we have some really amazing results by doing this farm fresh shipping.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that, you know, you mentioned something about they come wrapped in craft paper. That's almost like the way you get them, like, at a farmer's market or a French market.
Exactly. We like to talk about it as rustic luxury. There's sort of a movement now of kind of going back to basics a little bit, and that's actually viewed as something that is premium and luxurious. And so we want it to feel special, but we want it to definitely feel like that kind of farmer's market, French market vibe. So that's exactly what we're aiming for.
And what made you decide, John, to basically get flowers from a specific farm? And then how did you pick this farm, this particular place, to get your flowers?
So we actually work with about 5 farms now. And my co-founder, whose name is J.P. Montufar, was one of my best friends in college. We met, you know, over 15 years ago now in college. And he grew up on these farms in South America. And it was just where he grew up. He grew up around flowers his whole life. He had always wanted to work in flowers, and he spent about a decade here in the States working, and he married his wife, who's a lovely woman named Becky, and they moved back down there so that he could get back into flowers. And a couple years after he did that, we just started talking, and I started talking about how I didn't like the consumer experience, and he started talking about how he thought we could do it direct from the network of farms that he grew up working with, and they're all his friends and family, and it sort of grew from there. And so together, we're a really nice pair, because I get sort of the front end consumer side and marketing, and he knows everything there is to know about growing an amazing flower.
So are you a romantic, John?
I am a romantic, Juanita. I am.
Because that is such a fabulous business, being in the flower business and the way you present them, you have got to be a romantic.
You know, you could call it romantic or you could call it sentimental, whatever it is, but I have always been a little bit of a throwback, and, you know, I grew up, and when I was in junior high and high school, I would deliver flowers to the girl I was dating or whatever it would be, and guys would laugh at me and girls would giggle, but it always made me kind of popular with the girls, and it just sort of stuck, and I think it was something that my father instilled in me when I was young. You hold the door for the lady, and you pay for dinner, and you buy her some flowers and make her feel special, so I think that just kind of stuck with me. And the really rewarding part of this is it's romantic, but, you know, we get notes from people who sent flowers to, you know, their grandmother, and it was the last gift they got before she passed away, and they have photos with it, and she said it was the most beautiful thing she'd ever seen, et cetera, et cetera. And that really makes this more than just a business for us. It makes it feel rewarding emotionally, you know, on top of it being just a cool and fun business to work on. So we're really aiming for something, you know, of course, still a company, and we hope to make money, but we're trying to make people's lives better while also, you know, building a business.
And do you personally pick the flowers yourself, or do you have someone who's like a floral designer that picks and decides how to put things together? Because they're put together so artfully.
So we actually have sort of a celebrity florist who is part of our company. His name's Eric Buterbaugh. That's Buterbaugh, if anyone wants to Google him. He works out of the Four Seasons Beverly Hills. His clients are folks like the Royal Family and Demi Moore and folks like that. And his tasteful arrangements, they're sort of artful in their simplicity. We don't try to do too much because we sometimes feel like that's when flowers go bad.
Right.
We really rely on the natural beauty of the flower, but he's in charge of, you know, which colors are going to be in for which season, which combinations are going to make the most sense, helping us figure out how to best shoot them to sort of show their natural beauty. So I am not at all the sort of creative florist talent in the building at all. I certainly voiced an opinion here and there, but Eric's really the one who drives that beautiful collection that you see on the site.
And flowers at the Four Seasons or most hotels, they always look so beautiful that I literally take pictures of it just so I can try to copy it. And when I ran across thebooks.com and I saw how your flower arrangements were paired with this, and they were so tasteful, and it was not overdone, and it didn't feel, do I dare say the word, churchy, or, you know, the flowers that you see in churches. It just felt like the most romantic gesture, seeing a guy with a bouquet of flowers, or a woman, I mean, you know, not just guys, but you know, I send men flowers, so it's not just about the guys, but I just think it's just nice. It's a very nice change to have what you pay for and don't have to have all these extras added to the experience.
You will never see baby's breath on a bouquet as long as I run this company. There will never be baby's breath in there, Juanita, not even once.
Where did the baby breath? Okay, yeah. I'm so glad that you said that because, we always see the baby breath, and that seems like that's always a filler. And I've never seen, you're right, I have not seen that on your site.
No, we'll never do it because that's exactly what it is. It's designed to make it seem like there's more there than there is, and we don't want to market on that. We want to market on what's actually there. And so, yeah, we have a strict rule, no baby's breath in our books.
John Chavez with TheBooks.com. Is there anything else you want to add? You want to give us some web information? You have any specials that you like to give our audience?
Sure. So the website's TheBooks.com. That's TheBooks.com. And if you put in at checkout the code BookLove, BOUQLOVE, you'll get 10% off your first order.
Oh, wow. BOUGLOVE?
BOUQLOVE.
Oh. Right. Okay. So yeah, put that in, you get 10% off. And like John said, there's no shipping cost. Everything is included. Everything is included. You don't get the whole bait and switch. You get everything that you see, you pick it out. And, you know, I'm just saying October 5th is my birthday. So I expect to get some flowers from you guys listening. God, thank you so much. That is shameless. Let me smack my hand. Okay, that was so shameless. John, thank you so much for being a guest on The Beauty Files. You have been such a pleasure. And again, TheBooks.com is the website, and you do get a 10% discount if you put BookLove in the coupon code. Joining us next in about another minute, we're going to be joined by Chef Moses Jackson. He is CEO and the head chef of the Jambalaya Room, which is opening on Connecticut Avenue in Washington, D.C. We're going to hear how Chef says that he is the real deal when it comes to Cajun and Creole cooking. Keep it right there. We'll be right back in about a minute. Welcome back to The Beauty Files. John Chavez with TheBooks.com. What a great, great site. I love flowers. I'm shameless and threw that out, so forgive me. I should not even did that, but whatever. Chef Moses Jackson with the Jambalaya Room on Connecticut Avenue is scheduled to open a couple weeks. Welcome, Chef Moses.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Now, you know, when I first plugged you, I said, and I'm quoting something from your site. It says, I'm going to read it verbatim. It says, where am I? Where are my glasses? I am here to set the record straight for the sake of people who know true Louisiana Cajun and Creole cuisine. I have the best story of how I arrived, and you are authentic in what you do. Okay, do share. Let's see if you're so authentic. What makes you so authentic? First of all, welcome to the Beauty Files.
What makes me so authentic is the culture that I was raised. I was raised in New Orleans, and New Orleans cuisine is a part.
I'm sorry?
And I come
from, okay, you're breaking up.
Okay, I come from a tradition of chefs from my family, my mother, my cousins, everybody was chefs. Even Uncle Louis was the first black executive chef that was recognized by the Golden Toque, a professional culinary organization. And if you guys Google that, you'll see all of that information on the internet. Louis used to cook. Our family tradition is called crawfish bisque. And Louis used to cook crawfish bisque for Julia Child. It's all in the book. It's, all of this stuff is public, and you can find this stuff via. Louis has a cookbook out. Before he died, you know, they did some stuff, so on and so forth. But anyway, I'm the realist, and if anyone wants, we can step in the kitchen.
And anybody that what?
I say anyone who they have. East Coast, we just go in the kitchen and work it out.
Okay, so let's talk about the Jambalaya Room. Okay, so, you know, there are a lot of restaurants that have started that, you know, they're here, they're trying to make it in the Washington, D.C. area. What makes the Jambalaya Room so special?
Well, first of all, we want to give praise to our God for giving us this opportunity to even express the chef culinary gifts and his intuition in the food industry. What makes it special and what makes his food so special is the past that he put and the ingredients, mostly all of my ingredients come from here on the East Coast.
Okay, you're really breaking up. I mean, I'm not really hearing that well.
Can you hear
me? Is there any way you can move it to another room or another area so we can?
You can hear me.
Yeah. Okay, that's
okay.
Better.
You can hear me now?
So yeah, because you know restaurants have started, and restaurants have said that they're this and they're that or whatever. But I just want to know when someone looks at your site or someone comes and say they want to dine and they want real. Cajun or Creole cooking. Why should they go to the Jambalaya Room?
First, we are the most authentic. We have the freshest ingredients possible. We cooking with the most passion and love. And last but not least, their taste buds will be fascinated by the type of spices and the spices and herbs that we use in our cooking.
Hmm. Okay. Now you also offer like cooking classes, and you also do catering. So tell me about the cooking classes. I mean, is that like a do you cook in the person's home, or do we come to the restaurant and we learn how to cook? In your restaurant.
Well, there's two options to that, and the two options is Chef Moses do come to homes and set up a cooking class within your kitchen. Or you can come to the Jambalaya Room and get your class.
Okay.
And what we do, we find that a lot of people like for Chef Moses to come to their homes to get their girls. And it's like a big event. It's like a girls' night out, a guys' night out. You know, and it's just not the girls. The guys are taking full advantage of this opportunity, too, to learn this unique techniques that we use in Cajun and Creole cooking, because it's all about the technique. You know, you have to understand the technique and layer and flavors and so on and so forth in order to get that bold Cajun taste. It's very essential that you use the proper technique, the proper seasoning to get the exact taste and flavor that you want. Because we don't use measured items per se, spices, or you teaspoon of this, or you know, half a cup of that. We basically use with our senses, you know, smell, taste, texture, stuff like that. Those are the most basic tools that we use in Cajun and Creole cooking, because we're looking for a certain look, we're looking for a certain texture, we're looking for that certain taste. And a lot of people here on the East Coast, they're using undeveloped roux. And what I mean by that, they're not cooking all of the flour out of the roux, or they're cooking it too much, and they're burning it, it has a burnt taste, or it has a flour taste. They don't know. It's a whole method to making roux within itself. That's a class within itself. This is not talking about the classes that we give. I give the classes on making roux, knife skills, so on and so forth. But the roux class is such a big fan favorite because they can actually see the flour in the process of turning into the roux.
Okay, well, now I'm going to cut you off, because what I'm hearing, or what I love right now, is your passion for how your craft is and how perfect, or how you want to make it, you know, it perfect. I mean, you're very passionate about your cooking. But what I need to know is, why did you decide that you wanted to start this restaurant? What made you decide to say, I want to have this restaurant because, or I think this will work because? I'm curious. And it's on Connecticut Avenue, 2100 Connecticut Avenue, by the way.
Right. It all started when I was in college. We used to have these cookouts at my apartment when I was playing football in college. And everybody said, man, you shouldn't be playing football. You should be cooking. You need a restaurant. I'm like, man, I'm going to the league. I'm going to the NFL. So what happened was, I had the opportunity to do it, and I didn't make it. So I had a daughter, and it was something that I liked doing. And it gave me that same camaraderie with the guys in the kitchen. It gave me that same excitement like I was on the field. And that's where this all arrived.
But why D.C.? Why not New Orleans?
Why D.C.? Because, you know, I have a brother here and I have two nieces here. And I came after Katrina and I did some cooking for some people that is who's who here.
Right.
And hello, guys, wherever you are. And, man, you need a restaurant here, because they are faking the folk. My brother been telling me that, man, come up here, man. You can do big things here, you know. It's only a matter of time. Yeah, and I said, well, I'm on my way. I'm going to do it. After the Earl spill happened, I was here after Katrina, but after the Earl spill, I said it's now or never. And once I came to all of the restaurants here, and I'm calling all you guys out, the local Cajun and Creole restaurants, if you think you're better than Chef Moses, let's see.
Oh my God.
The thing is, I came here and I tasted their cuisine, and I said, man, this is horrible. This is just a displeasure. This is disappointment, you know? I mean, why would you say you can do this and you can't? You follow me?
Well, I mean, you know, okay, so I'm going to play devil's advocate. You know, it's great that, you know, you have someone who can cook a meat, you know, cook very well, and the food is amazing. But, you know, and you know, being in the restaurant business, and me being a eater, because I love food. Not 50% of it is food, but the other 50% is service.
Correct. And what I can promise you at the Jambalaya Run is great service and phenomenal food. Those are the two things that I can control. I can't control the weather. I can't control any other elements that's going on, you know. So it's just one of those type of things. It's just this thing within your guts. It's this X factor. It's like, you know, this Jhené Cinq Paille. You know, some people just have it and some don't.
So has the restaurant business changed a lot?
Of course it has. People has got more educated on the food that they're eating. They have got more They got more educated on the real deal, and they know what they're looking for. So that's basically a nutshell. People know the real deal, and they just trying to find their way. It's like somebody searching in a dark, trying to find their way to the door to get out of the cage. And that's what's happening with this cuisine here in on the East Coast, bacon, Cajun, and Creole.
Wow. So what's the capacity of your new restaurant?
About 100.
100, okay. And do you offer catering services too?
Yes, ma'am, catering and cooking classes.
Oh, okay. Okay. And what about special events? Like, say, for instance, if I wanted to bring a few people over, do you, like, close half of the restaurant, or do you block it off, or?
Yeah, we have VIP events all the time. Matter of fact, I got a lot of VIP clients. You know, say, chef, you don't have to, you know, put us in the mix of the things that you're doing to get accolades, and I say I won't, and I'm not.
So give us a sample of some of the stuff that's on your menu.
We got charbar oysters. We have crawfish.
Now you got it. Now, when you say these things, because a lot of us don't know what that is.
Okay, charbar oysters is the oysters on a half shell. That's with this butter and Parmesan cheese and garlic salt. Is on the grill and it's cooked within a shell.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, I'm waiting. My mouth is salivating. Go ahead.
And what it does, you know, the oyster releases all of the natural juices of the oyster and the butter. They intertwine in the shell and make a sauce with the garlic. And it's just amazing, you know. We eat this all the time in New Orleans. And also we have our world-famous crawfish bisque. And crawfish bisque is a dish that that's one of our family traditions, the smothered hen. We call it sometimes sticky chicken. The smothered hen is a family tradition. Mama cooked that every Sunday.
Oh.
And the crawfish bisque, mother cooked that, you know, when crawfish season was in. Because what they would take the live crawfish and stuff the heads with the tail and make it, it's like, you know, it could be between a soup and a stew. It's just an amazing dish. You know, when you get a chance to come to the Jambalaya Room, that should be one of your first experience that you want to get. And
it's
also
the crawfish
bisque. And we also have a dish called eggplant pea roll. And pea roll is a Cajun term for canoe.
Canoe?
Yeah, a canoe, which you know, we in the bayous, we go hunting with and stuff like that.
Okay.
You know? Mm-hmm.
And what does that dish entail?
Well, the eggplant pea roll, what it does, we carve the eggplant into a pea roll, and we deep fry the eggplant, and we do a julienne of tenderloin, of beef tenderloin in a green pepper sauce, and we serve it with veggies. It is a great presentation.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you had said something to me, or when we were doing the research on the show, you had said something to me about turtle soup.
Oh, of course. Turtle soup is an aphrodisiac. And we use turtle soup all the time down there on the bayous. Now, guys, I want y'all to pay close attention to this, okay? Because it's very essential. If you want to be Cajun-wise, you need turtle soup in your life.
If you want to be what in what?
Cajun-wise.
Oh, Cajun-ized, okay.
You know, we want to you want to become a part of the Cajun country. You want to become a part of the Cajun theme. You need turtle soup in your life. Because see, what we do, this turtle meat comes from Louisiana. The turtles go, in the wintertime, they go in the mud. And in the summertime, they come up the spring. Summer, they come out of the mud and do the, you know, hunt and mate and do all of that stuff. And they go back in. But, they've been eating turtle for a long time, you know, down there in the bayous.
And I do know that there's something, I don't know if you have it on your menu, you probably do, but I remember when I went to New Orleans, or as they say, New Orleans, and there was something about alligator.
Oh, we got gator bites. We definitely have Gator Bites on the menu. Gator Bites is on the menu with my signature tartar sauce. And the signature tartar sauce, a whole bunch of distributors want that tartar sauce on the shelves in their stores. We're working on a whole bunch of things like that also.
Okay. And you also have a brunch menu as well. And I think because you kind of laughed at me when I said something about beignets. And I you know, not everybody can make good beignets.
Right. And the thing it is, beignets is not on the menu, but we'll be doing it from time to time. I got to train someone to make the beignets because, you know, the passion and the love that I have, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it right. And if I can't get tied up in the kitchen just continuing to make beignets because I got to manage the whole conglomerate of the jambalaya. I got to make
right.
sure ordering and all of that. And beignets is a process, you know, it's a couple of steps. If you want the correct beignets, they have to be made properly. They have to be
okay.
light, airily,
right.
and sweet. And you cannot get them no other way. Now, if you get a beignet some other kind of way, it's not a beignet. I don't know what you can call it, a fried piece of dough or what. But I take proper precautions in everything that I do. And every step that's necessary to make this dish the most authentic.
So now, are you in your restaurant, are you going to be the one that you're going to be in the kitchen, but I'm sure you have a sous chef, but do you come around the table to see if everybody is enjoying
the
food?
Are
you that type of chef?
Of course. I can guarantee my customers a couple of things. I can guarantee them a great event, outing, dinner, or what have you. I can also guarantee them the fresh and the hottest food, and I can also guarantee them there will be another time they'll come back to see Chef Moses. Those are the things that I guarantee that will make their dining experience second to none. Because
now, where do you get all this experience from? I know you said something about your family, but have you ever worked in another restaurant before, prior to the Jambalaya Room? Were you a chef there before you came here?
Yeah, I'm like a good pot of gumbo. I worked at all of the fine houses in New Orleans. I worked Emerald, I worked with Paul, I worked at the Quarter Two Sisters, I was a PM chef at the Quarter Two Sisters, which gave me a lot of experience. I was a sous chef at New Orleans Country Club.
Wow.
It was a conglomerate of things that I've done in order to make this thing success.
And why did you decide that you wanted to have your own place, especially since it's such a big undertaking?
Yeah.
Hello?
Say that again, please.
I said, why did you decide that you wanted to have your own since it's such a big undertaking?
Well, it's nothing like your own. You know, every man should have his own wife, his own kids, his own whatever it is in his heart that he desires. I mean, the Bible speaks of those things, you know. You have to leave an inheritance, and this is going to be the inheritance for my kids. I've taken on this task to be number one, and by no means are we going to be second to none, okay?
Right. Okay, and that's good to know. I mean, I when you say all these different places that you have come from and whatever, and you kind of listed them really fast, and a lot of people probably didn't hear you, but the one place that I did hear that I know that was an amazing place or amazing chef was are you talking about Chef Paul Prudhomme?
Of course, that's my mentor and chef, and I matter of fact I had his nephew here with me. Doing some things, and he's back in New Orleans, and he'll be back. We, you know, the thing about Chef, he has an incubator down, an incubator that breeds chefs. The Brennan's family, they breed chefs. Emo, they breed. These are the things that I've come from. So I come with a pedigree. I come with the things that make everything authentic. It's just something that's in me. It's something that the techniques, the things that you do, that makes be authentic and make it the right way and it has the right taste. You know, we can go on and on, Miss Anita, about this cooking. And I love this. I wouldn't do nothing. I never had any other kind of job. This is all I ever done since I left college. and didn't make it to the league. That's all I ever done. I never wanted to do any other kind of work. Never. Not cut grass, not nothing. This all I ever wanted to do was be a great chef.
Wow. Well, I can hear it in your voice. I can hear that you this is something that you have always wanted to do and that you're good at, because you know, just listening to how you describe your dishes, how you make your dishes, you know, preparation, you know, your humble beginnings, it just makes you. And I'm speaking for myself, but I think I speak for someone, because someone sent me an email and they just asked me, when is an exact date, and I'll ask you that, because they were saying that their mouth is watering. So you're making a very good point, or a very good case of people wanting to come to your restaurant. But do you have an exact date? Because I'm getting a lot of emails asking, when is it open?
Well, we'll be opening on the 18th. We'll be open, and we'll be doing some things. The 17th and the 18th, we're doing some soft things. And what you guys have to do, you guys have to go to info@jambalayaroom.com and make reservations, because we already have a booked up for the last couple of weeks. We've been doing soft stuff and different things for other people, and we've been booked up ever since we came out with this idea that we wanted to do soft things. It grew by leaps and bounds.
And you also you also have a Groupon. Is it Groupon or is it?
Yes, Groupon. That's what really did it. You know, they booked us up like we've been booked like 4 weeks. So we actually open, but we only are supporting those people that has bought the Groupon. And it was
okay.
Like Groupon. I set a record for sales for the first week with them, and I couldn't believe that. I said, y'all blowing smoke up me, you know. But anyways,
but you're gonna have another grand because I'll shame you.
Grand opening, yes.
Your birthday is the 24th of September, so you're gonna have something for that.
Oh, we're gonna have a big shame bang boodle.
So how young will you be turning?
Beg your pardon?
How old will you be?
21.
Oh, well, there you go. There goes the magic. The 21-year-old chef. Well, you know. You know, I'm gonna let you go in about a few minutes, but you make it. This is like a conversation that I like to have, like on the phone with you, because you're so spectacular. But I let me ask you this: you said something about Katrina. Were you a part of that? Did you come from? You know,
yeah,
did you have to leave because of Katrina?
Well, let me tell you the whole story about Katrina. And every time
make the whole story short.
I will. But every time I get to tell it, it makes me so emotional. And it really touches the core of me, because I was there. I lived and breathed this horrible thing that has happened to a great city of the world, not just the United States, of the world. And we were like trapped. We were like a third world country. And I was the food and beverage director at the Holiday Inn on Roar Street. And I can remember like it was yesterday. My general manager, Darius Gray. Oh, great guy, man, really great guy. You know, he and I was there. He said, man, you know, everybody else, all of the team players left. He and I was basically the glue that held the hotel together. And we had New Orleans Finest there. And when they called martial law, we didn't know nothing about martial law. And it was a tragedy. I just seen babies dying, and it was, you know, went to the super. I mean, it was. And I mean, every time I think about it, you know, I gotta give God, you know, a really good thanks for just helping out the people and touching and giving Bush them some understanding about what was going on down there, because no one knew,
right.
No one knew. If you wasn't there, you never knew what was happening. And
yeah, that's true.
And it was something that to behold anyone that was there, and I just. My heart goes out to the family that lost their people and loved ones and then devastating, you know, because it was like I never been in the Army or World War, and you know, a lot of people say it was like worse than Vietnam. Yeah. So.
Was that the reason why you came to D.C. because of that?
Well, that was one of D.C. was on my tour. I came here. I went to Atlanta. I had a couple of places because, you know, the Holiday Inn moved me around to different properties, just working, just keeping, you know, trying to keep your mind idle off of that. But it was such a devastating travesty.
Right.
To just not the people here in New Orleans. It was all over because everybody from New Orleans had loved ones all over the country and the world, and it reached out and touched everyone. You couldn't get no money out your bank account. You couldn't. Everybody was on the same plateau, you know. And that was a funny thing. And I just hope that never happened to anyone. I wouldn't wish that on the worst person in the world. You know, because everybody deserved the best, and that's why I'm here in D.C. to give you guys the best. So y'all come on down to the Jambalaya Room and get your favorite Cajun Creole cuisine, and I can guarantee you, you'll be happy.
Now, before I let you go, Chef, you do offer a brunch menu. Well, you do have brunch.
I do have a brunch menu. Brunch is a buffet, and what we're going to do, we're going to have sweet potato waffles, we're going to have regular waffles, we're going to have an omelet station, we're going to have fruits, we're going to have grillades and grits, we're going to have shrimp and grits. We're going to have eggs benedicts. You know, we're going to have the game-changer bread pudding that I have. It's the game-changer bread pudding will change your mind about a lot of things once you eat it.
Change my mind.
It's called the game-changer, baby.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, ma'am. And it comes with a rum sauce. Yes, ma'am.
So you know, we got our mouths watering. We got people sending me people are going crazy. They want to know. Yeah, so, you know, 2100 Connecticut Avenue. I hope I got the number right. 202-332-8233 is the number. You do need to call and make a reservation. And where did you say they had to call or go to make a reservation?
They can go to info@jambalayaroom.com. Or they can call the restaurant, or they can call Chef at 202-489-1377 to make reservations. But it's a must that you make reservations because we are booked up, like I said, and you make reservations, a lot of times people fall off, you know, something happened, they can't make it, and we bumping other people into their spots. So
okay,
it's very imperative.
So I'm going to come up there, and I'm going to be in the line.
You very may be, but you may be able to get a seat at the chef's table. Now we have the chef's table.
What's the chef's table?
We have a chef's table that we have.
The chef's table.
Yes.
Is that like
the chef's table? No one waits on you. The chef comes out with four or five courses for you, and I mean. It's a table that you get exclusively intimate with the chef. And we have two tables in a restaurant that does that.
Oh.
And it's about, the chef can intimately entertain eight people.
I think I like that idea. I like the chef table.
Yes.
I like to feel
it's
special.
The chef table. And see
yeah,
what the chef does.
I'll be at the chef table.
That's his playground. And we call that the chef's playground. That, those tables is the chef's playground. And what the chef, whatever he wants to do at those tables, that's what he creates. They don't even eat off the menu. They eat the freshest, whatever he's got in that day, the fresh crab meat, whatever. Stuff like that.
Well, Chef, it's been such a pleasure having you on the show today. I don't know where the time went. I think it went with all this great talking food in your life story. It's been fabulous and wonderful, and I do appreciate you being a part of the Beauty Files. And again, that is the Jambalaya Room. They're located on 2100 Connecticut Avenue Northwest. And again, you can call them at 202-489-1377, or you can make a reservation at info@thejambalayaroom. Did I get that right?
.com.
Exactly. Oh,
that's
thank
what
you so much.
.com now.
Thank you so much, Chef, for being on the show, and thanks again, everyone, for tuning in today to listen to the Beauty Files with Juanita. Next, our next show I'm not going to plug that because it's going to be a surprise. And so I'm not going to plug it today because I want to make sure that it's going to happen. So I'm not going to plug the show, but it's going to be a really exciting show. And again, our shows are now based beauty and lifestyle. So we're going to do the whole gamut, fashion, beauty. We're going to do lifestyles. We're going to touch on something that's very dear to my heart, pets and taking care of your pets and some amazing treatments and programs that are geared towards pets, and that's something dear to me as well. So again, tune in again at 4 p.m. on BBS Radio, and we love to have you, and again, you take care. Bye-bye.